Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to another hour of the weekend edition of Intelligent Medicine. We'll be with you for the next hour. We've got lots of stories to share with you, and we invite your phone calls, 877-726-8255. It's all about intelligent medicine, the best of high-tech medicine, the best of natural therapies. We put those all together for you each weekday, as I do in my practice when I see patients. It's kind of the same thing. It's just on the radio. And this week, I interviewed an investigative journalist, Carrie Gillum, for our Intelligent Medicine podcast, which you'll get in your feed next week, prior to Thanksgiving, I hope. Well, even over Thanksgiving, a little extra time, so maybe you can listen to it. It's a fascinating look at glyphosate. Glyphosate is the active ingredient in Roundup, the stuff that we like to spray on our weeds. And I used to use it myself. I used to spray it on my driveway when the weeds popped up. And miraculously, next day, weeds were dead. Worked great. But I was a little concerned always about the use of Roundup. I would make sure I wash my hands very carefully. And then I started to realize that the stuff is pretty toxic, pretty dangerous, dangerous to our environment. And the way that Monsanto created a huge market for Roundup is they developed what are called Roundup-ready crops, crops that are resistant to Roundup. So you spray Roundup on your fields, and you kill all the weeds, and the GMO crops survive. And that's a great business model because you sell the seeds to the farmers, and then you sell the herbicide to the farmers, the Roundup, and you got it going both ways. But in this book, Whitewash, subcaptioned The Story of a Weed Killer, Cancer, and the Corruption of Science, Carrie Gillum blows the lid off glyphosate and how a toxic chemical was allowed by government regulatory agencies to become a huge multi-billion dollar business for Monsanto, now recently taken over by Bayer. And now there's a whole flood of lawsuits from people who are developing cancers, they say, via exposure to glyphosate. Recently, there was a $289 million judgment against Monsanto about a landscaper who used this stuff liberally throughout his career, developed non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and died, and the jury saw fit to award $289 million to the plaintiffs. And the judge somewhat reduced that huge award, unprecedented award, to something like $70 million. But still, it's a big hit for Bayer, and more lawsuits are in queue. Bayer vociferously denies that there's any problem with glyphosate. But here's an interesting article, and I discussed it in our podcast. You'll hear it if you listen. There's some greater concerns about the liberal spraying of glyphosate on our foodstuffs and whether or not you develop cancer. I mean, that's, you know, the ultimate consequence of exposure. But even if you don't get cancer, this stuff is in our water. It's now been documented in breast milk. Humans have high concentrations in their blood and their urine. It's ubiquitous in our environment. But when you eat food that's been sprayed with glyphosate, it may damage your intestinal bacteria. And here's a study that suggests that there is a connection. It's a study on animals. This has not yet been replicated in humans, but they did it on mice, and they found that there's a relationship between the gut bacteria and behavioral changes associated with glyphosate. They found that there was a toxic effect of glyphosate on the microbiome, and this had an impact on neurobehavioral function in mice following exposures to Roundup. The mice had behaviors that were mouse equivalents of human anxiety and depression. They say subchronic and chronic exposure to glyphosate induced an increase of anxiety and depression-like behaviors. It also altered the gut microbial composition and reduced the diversity of key microbes. Specifically, it reduced many species, including Lactobacillus, a useful, healthy bacteria that's part of the normal microbiome. So they say that these data reinforce the link between gut microbiome and glyphosate toxicity, and they suggest that the observed intestinal dysbiosis could increase the prevalence of neurobehavioral alterations. Are we seeing some neurobehavioral alterations in humans, in kids who eat breakfast foods, cereals that now have been found to have high concentrations of glyphosate, the incidence of childhood neurobehavioral ailments like autism, obsessive behaviors, attention deficit disorder, childhood bipolar disease, and childhood anxiety and depression? I mean, there are many factors involved, not the least of which is our obsession with devices and with screen time. But what are we unleashing on our environment with all that exposure to glyphosate? It's a very, very interesting subject, and you can read all about it in the book Whitewash and listen to the podcast that we'll post next week. Our number is 877-726-8255. And there are lots of ways to get through to us. You can call us live during the program right now. You can email us your questions to radioprogram@AOL.com. You can also record a question, and that you can do by going to drhoffman.com, and on our homepage, using a PC or Mac, on the right side of the page, there's a little box you can click on. You can record a question, as did Erwin. Lewis, do we have the question from Erwin? Cue it up.
We've heard so much about the benefits of chocolate and the antioxidants in chocolate, saying that we should eat a small piece of chocolate every day to get the benefit of the flavonoids, etc. My question is, what about chocolate in other forms, whether it's a chocolate pudding, brownies, mousse, chocolate cake? Do we get the same benefits from eating chocolate in those forms?
Okay, thank you for that question, Erwin. Give me an opportunity to issue this PSA, public service announcement about chocolate. You know, there's all this buzz about cocoa polyphenols, the cocoa flavonoids that are so beneficial in a lot of ways. They promote circulation, they enhance mood, they're heart healthy, they can lower blood pressure, they're anti-inflammatory, on and on it goes. And the way they seem to work is they're a prebiotic. They contain beneficial anti-inflammatory substances, but actually chocolate or cocoa per se, high-test cocoa, is a prebiotic. So it actually helps to shape the microbiome in a healthy way. But what you need is you need really high-test chocolate. You need, 85%, 88%, 90%, 95% cocoa products. And also the way that cocoa is processed can change the flavonoid composition. The dutching of chocolate, which is a harsh process that's designed to eliminate the bitterness of chocolate, useful polyphenols and render it less beneficial. So they're working on functional chocolates, chocolates that deliver the health benefits. It's a little tough because the FDA and the FTC won't allow a lot of these manufacturers to make health claims like this is good for you. But your question is about other forms, you know, cake, mousse, pudding. When you do that, you add a lot of other calories, especially from sugar, but also sometimes from poor quality fats. It's kind of a caloric bomb. And in addition, the milk in milk chocolate neutralizes some of the benefits of the polyphenols. Just like when you, instead of drinking tea, like the British do, you drink tilk, you know, tea with lots and lots and lots of milk. You actually can block the benefits of some of the useful polyphenols like EGCG in tea. So, sorry to disappoint you, Erwin. I know it's bad news, but no, you can't eat cake, mousse, pudding with impunity just because of the health benefits of chocolate. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. 877-726-8255 is our number for our live questions today on Intelligent Medicine.
Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. As we age, forestalling and even reversing bone loss becomes more and more important. That's why I've created the Intelligent Medicine Bone Health Protocol, my personal supplement recommendations to ensure your skeletal health. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com. In addition to the Bone Health Protocol, you'll find easy-to-follow links from my supplement starter kit, Heart Health Protocol, and much more. As always, I strive to provide you with the tools you need to make informed choices beyond the cookie-cutter care of today's healthcare system, and these new protocols are an easy way for you to get the exact combination of targeted supplements you need to help you follow the intelligent medicine lifestyle. The same supplements I take myself and prescribe for my patients. And for a limited time, you'll get free shipping on all of your store orders. For more details, just go to drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com. drhoffmanstore.com. Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. As a listener to Intelligent Medicine, you know that fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, that support your cardiovascular, brain, nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. My preferred fish oil brand is Carlson. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to store. They source only the highest quality deep cold water fish using traditional sustainable methods. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity. I use Carlson myself, recommend it to my patients, and I've included Carlson in the Intelligent Medicine Protocol Starter Kit, available on my website, drhoffman.com. Carlson award-winning omega-3 nutritional supplements are available in soft gels and liquid form for those who have trouble swallowing pills. For more information, go to www.carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you. And let's talk magnesium, because in my recent issue of the Journal of the American College of Nutrition, there's a good magnesium study. It's called the Scottsdale Magnesium Study, and it takes a look at the absorption and effectiveness of one of my favorite forms of magnesium, which is jigsaw magnesium, also referred to as magnesium SRT. And it's a time-release magnesium supplement. Now, we know that magnesium is a cofactor in more than 300 biochemical reactions throughout the body. It has an impact on protein synthesis, muscle and nerve function, blood glucose control, and blood pressure regulation. And many chronic disease states are associated with low magnesium status, including type 2 diabetes, metabolic syndrome, inflammation, hypertension, vascular disease, osteoporosis, and also certain psychiatric conditions, because symptoms of magnesium deficiency can include anxiety and fatigue, muscle weakness and cramps, of course, tremors, nausea, shortness of breath, dizziness, heart palpitations, of course, difficulty swallowing, poor memory and confusion. And while the recommended daily allowance for magnesium is 400 milligrams for men and 420 milligrams for men over 31, for women 310 milligrams per day, It's interesting because the RDAs are so low for so many things that it's really hard to have a deficiency if you eat a decent diet, as most of you do. But check this out. According to the National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey, NHANES, at least 68% of Americans consume less than the RDA for magnesium. So it's probably the most common nutritional deficiency or insufficiency. The vast majority of us need more magnesium. So this study evaluated the efficacy of jigsaw magnesium. It's also known as MAG-SRT, and it's a time-release formulation. It's got magnesium in the malate form, along with some B6 folate and B12, which facilitates the uptake and utilization of magnesium. So what they found was quite interesting. In contradistinction to cheap retail-grade supplements which contain magnesium oxide or magnesium carbonate, the bioavailability of those is very low, and they often cause negative GI symptoms such as diarrhea. They're great laxatives, but they just don't get absorbed. In this study, the magnesium SRT was well absorbed, and what they found was that serum magnesium values, and they used red blood cell magnesium, which is a better way to check because in the bloodstream, not so good. It's an intracellular mineral, so it's found inside the red blood cell. So they used red blood cell magnesium. Red blood cell magnesium values increased 22% after taking two tablets of magnesium SRT. The recommended dose is 2 twice daily, so for a total of 4. And what's interesting is they also looked at the symptoms of these individuals, and their symptoms improved too. They had a reduction in symptoms associated with magnesium deficiency, such as muscle cramps and anxiety, and the various symptoms that I described before. They had improvement in memory, carbohydrate, chocolate cravings, sexual energy, blood pressure, fatigue, asthma, wheezing, anxiety, and that's the effect of the magnesium that they took that was well absorbed. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Our number, 877-726-8255. We'll take some questions in just a moment on this weekend edition of Intelligent Medicine. Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you. And yeah, we're taking your phone calls. 877-726-8255 is our number for questions related to all aspects of health, nutrition. Let's talk to Marie from Wisconsin.
Hello.
Hi, Marie. Hi there. Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. I was recently diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. Mm-hmm. And I do have the tremors. I'm experiencing the tremors. I do work out on a regular basis, attempt to get at least an hour of exercise every day.
Great, and that's important. That's a good thing. That could actually forestall the progression of Parkinson's disease right there. Yeah.
Uh-huh. I'm wondering, is there anything nutritionally that I should be doing, or mm-hmm. if there are supplements that you would recommend?
Yeah. Boy, is there. I really like to work with Parkinson's patients these days because there's several plausible nutritional approaches that can help them. So number one, you're going to miss out on this, but if you were a male, testosterone might be beneficial. And testosterone helps mood. It helps reduce the loss of muscle tone that's associated with a movement disorder. But for women, because of the side effects, it's not really that available. That's not the first thing I would think of, though. These days, there's a lot of buzz on the ketogenic diet, which attempts to switch brain metabolism from carbohydrate dependency to utilizing fat as a fuel. So in the ketogenic diet, it's not just a low-carb diet. It's a diet where you don't have tons and tons of protein. You don't have like 22-ounce porterhouse steaks. But you have adequate protein, but you flip the script from carbohydrates as a source of energy to fat as a source of energy. And so studies show that that is helpful in many neurodegenerative diseases. And it's worth a try in Parkinson's disease. It's a little difficult to adhere to, and you have to work with a qualified health professional to guide you because it's a little hard to implement, but that is worthwhile. In terms of supplements, the things that enhance brain energy, traditionally we've used high doses of coenzyme Q10, or better yet, ubiquinol, which is more bioavailable. Also, anti-inflammatory nutrients like curcumin at high doses to reduce the inflammatory component of Parkinson's, because it is, where inflammation occurs, brain function decreases. But these days there's a new kid on the block in terms of brain energy, and that's something called nicotinamide riboside. And the product of choice is True Niagen. We happen to have acquired them as a sponsor. I'm very happy that they're on board with us. And we've done some podcasts on nicotinamide riboside in the past. But it's actually available via Fullscript. Last time I checked on Fullscript, it's the best-selling product in my Fullscript dispensary because of it's ubiquitous in its benefits, not just for brain, but also for energy, athletic performance. It's a brain nutrient par excellence. There's also some research now on a substance called inosine, I-N-O-S-I-N-E. And what that substance does is it actually raises uric acid. Now, you don't want to raise uric acid if you have gout. In fact, if you have gout, you want to lower uric acid because uric acid can form crystals in your joints. But the vast majority of patients with Parkinson's disease have low levels of uric acid. And uric acid, in addition to causing pain and gout, there's a good side to it. When it's at moderate levels without causing gout, it acts as a potent antioxidant in the brain. And so, using inosine is in the biochemical pathway that leads to the synthesis of uric acid in the bloodstream, and higher levels of uric acid seem to be protective against the progression of Parkinson's disease. So that's one of the nutritional strategies that can be used in this disease. And it's actually attracting attention not just in functional medicine circles, but among traditional neurologists as a one way of slowing the progression of Parkinson's. I mean, we have drugs that seem to reduce the symptoms. They don't really slow the progression. We have some new options coming up potentially with stem cell or electrical stimulation of the brain. But those seem a little far off in terms of their actual practicality because they haven't yet been improved. More research needs to be done. We're still in the early stages. But those are some of the strategies that I would consider, Marie. How does that sound to you?
Thank you. Can you tell me the name again of the nicotinamide item?
Yeah, it's True Niagen. I'll spell it for you. It's TRUNIAGEN. And if you go to drhoffman.com, there's a banner across the top, and it says shop. And in the drop-down menu, it'll ask you to register for Fullscript. I mean, there's no obligation to buy from Fullscript. You just sign on. You can, peruse the products there. But in the search box on Fullscript, if you put in True Niagen, you'll find that product there, and you can order it direct. It's a product that's sold via practitioners. So it's something that you can obtain via Fullscript through my online dispensary. Okay? Thank you very much for calling. All the best to you. And I think encouraging news, these days we have some strategies that can really slow the progression of this condition. We have many patients with Parkinson's, 10, 15, 20 years down the line. I might also mention, postscript, N-acetylcysteine to support glutathione production. And some studies suggest even that intravenous glutathione has good effects. That's Dr. Perlmutter's work. A frequent contributor here to our podcast. So, America's preeminent integrative neurologist recommends glutathione as a way of slowing the progression of Parkinson's. And one way to boost your glutathione, you can take N-acetylcysteine. You can also take the product RegActive, again, one of our sponsors. It's a probiotic that actually synthesizes glutathione within your body, in the gut, that can be absorbed into the bloodstream. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. 877-726-8255 is our number as we proceed. And here's an item. What role does genetics play in your longevity? What would you say? I mean, this is a pop quiz. Would you say it's 50% of the equation? Obviously, your lifestyle, I mean, hopefully, you're not just foreordained by your genes to die young or to become a centenarian, right? Clearly, there's some genetic factors. They're studying that. But what percentage of your potential to live a long life is encoded in your genes? Another way of looking at that is, you know, you go to the palm reader, and the palm reader says, oh, you have a long lifeline or you have a short lifetime. Lifeline. Is that fated? Well, there's a new study, a very interesting study, very complicated. Stay with me on this. It's from the Genetic Society of America. And, you know, a lot of people signing up for Ancestry.com. Ancestry.com's business model is they use the data for studies. Okay, now, don't worry about it. Hopefully, this is confidential. They don't just, you know, use it so that insurance companies can deny you insurance based on your genes, or employers can look at your genes and decide if, you know, you're going to crap out on them. Researchers looked at data from folks signed up for Ancestry.com, and they made it anonymous so to assuage concerns about confidentiality. And they ended up analyzing the family trees of more than 400 million people. Well, they don't have 400 million people in their database, but in the family trees that people aggregate in Ancestry.com, it comprises 400 million people. Pretty large sample, wouldn't you say? Now, previous estimates of human lifespan heritability have ranged from around 15 to 30%. So it is mostly environment, but, you know, you figure a large part of it is about your genes. Well, they did a very, very complicated statistical mathematical analysis, and they focused on relatives of people now living who were born across the 19th and early 20th centuries, because, you know, you can't base it on living people because they're not dead yet. You want to know how long people lived. So people who construct family trees, they know when their relatives died, and the data is there. So what they noted was that something very interesting. The lifespan of spouses tend to be correlated, and it was more similar, in fact, than in siblings of opposite gender. So wait a minute. Here's an example. So you might live to 86 and your husband to 84, okay? But your brother, your poor brother, died at 61. Well, who are you? You're not genetically related, hopefully, to your husband, because otherwise that would be incest, right? Or, you know, life in rural Arkansas among the hillbillies, you know, marrying your kissing cousin. But the research suggests that there's a great deal of correlation among spouses, but spouses aren't genetically related. So what's that? Is it about the shared environment of spouses? Maybe they're, you know, spouses who live together for a long time. They eat healthy food together. They avoid toxins. Maybe they don't smoke, so they live longer. Well, no, it turned out that it actually wasn't about that. It was about the way that people select spouses. They select spouses in something called assortative mating. People tend to select partners with traits like their own. In this case, how long they live. So it may be that attractive people marry attractive people, and there may be some correlation with longevity, or maybe healthy people marry healthy people. Therefore, there's an association. For example, tall people prefer tall spouses. Well, it turns out that the taller you are, the more likely you are to die younger. This actually is a correlation there. Or overweight people prefer overweight people. Well, there's an association there, too, with longevity. So the upshot of it is that how long you live has less to do with your genes than you might think. And what percentage did they think it was that's genetically determined? it may be 7% or less. So that's good news. I mean, if you've got, you come from a family where a lot of people dropping dead young, maybe not to worry, because when it comes to lifespan, according to this big study, it's not all about your heredity. Very interesting. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. 877-726-8255 is our number. And this is Intelligent Medicine.
Everyone's raving about the newest botanical superstar hitting the store shelves nationwide. Hemp-derived cannabidiol, or CBD, has been receiving a lot of attention for its tremendous promise on human health. Plus, CBD oil by CV Sciences is the trusted brand setting the standards in this newly emerging category of plant-based extracts, offering a variety of hemp-derived CBD oil products that you can count on. In order to make the highest quality CBD oil products available, it is important to manage every step of the supply chain process, from seed to shelf. That's why, from harvesting our EU-certified hemp seeds, to laboratory testing for quality and safety, to producing our exceptional line of products, we are committed to going the extra mile. It is our commitment to you. Join the CBD evolution. Ask your local natural health retailer about Plus CBD oil products by CV Sciences today. Follow us on Facebook and learn more at pluscbdoil.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. As a listener to Intelligent Medicine, you know that fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, that support your cardiovascular, brain, nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. My preferred fish oil brand is Carlson. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to store. They source only the highest quality deep cold water fish using traditional sustainable methods. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity. I use Carlson myself, recommend it to my patients, and I've included Carlson in the Intelligent Medicine Protocol Starter Kit, available on my website, drhoffman.com. Carlson award-winning omega-3 nutritional supplements are available in soft gels and liquid form for those who have trouble swallowing pills. For more information, go to www.carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide. Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here. Again, you can email your questions to radioprogram@AOL.com. Also, you can record questions at drhoffman.com. On our homepage, on our website, there's a box you can click on. It's on the right side of the page, on the homepage, and it'll prompt you to record a question, as did this caller. It didn't leave a name, but Anonymous has this to ask. Go ahead.
I have a question on the Cholespure itself, the Cholespure Plus, and the Cholespure 2. Are there any recommendations for either product, and which one would you recommend the most? Appreciate
okay.
it. Thanks.
Okay, good question, because Cholestapure is a kind of a unique product that in contains, it's spelled like cholesterol, but it's Cholestapure. And it comes in different forms. So the basic ingredient in Cholestapure is the phytosterols, plant phytosterols. And plant phytosterols, which are present in foods such as soy, for example, and various other foods, interfere with the absorption of cholesterol in the gastrointestinal tract. And thus they can help keep cholesterol at bay, which argues not so much for taking Cholestapure, but for eating lots of fresh fruits and vegetables, which contain plant phytosterols, which may block the absorption of cholesterol to some extent. So thus antidoting perhaps the cholesterol that you get when you eat all those eggs and meats. So, a lot of the cholesterol you make is you synthesize on your own in your liver. It's not all dietary. In fact, relatively small contribution from diet. So is that something that has been shown consistently to reduce the risk of cardiovascular disease? It lowers cholesterol somewhat. And it's even recommended by the American Heart Association, which is unusual for some kind of nutritional supplement. But the studies are kind of weak on whether it actually reduces the endpoint of cardiovascular disease or death. So I'm not, I'd say it's sort of a second tier or third tier product in terms of, you know, when I'm giving people stuff to prevent cardiovascular disease. I'd much rather give them chiolic aged garlic extract and magnesium and fish oil, and berberine and bergamot. And oh, by the way, that's a segue to the second part of your question, which is, what about the other forms of Cholestipure? Well, there's Cholestipure Plus, and then there's Cholestipure Plus 2. And Cholestipure Plus contains bergamot, which actually does lower cholesterol and has been shown to have some anti-inflammatory effect on the arteries. And berberine reduces cholesterol as well. So if you're going to use the product, I would go with the, you know, Plus 2. It's more expensive. You might get some benefit from the plant phytosterols, but you definitely get some benefit from the berberine and from the bergamot. Bergamot is a extract of a citrus that's grown in a certain part of Italy, and it actually has been shown, and I've seen it, dramatically reduce cholesterol. Plus, it has an anti-inflammatory effect. So, therefore, valuable in fighting off cardiovascular disease. Here's another supplement that I like. It's sulforaphane. And in this study, sulforaphane, when combined with a beta-glucans product, and we're all concerned about the flu, sulforaphane and beta-glucans versus the flu. A novel glucan-sulforaphane combination stimulates immune response to influenza in a mouse model. This study suggests that the combination of sulforaphane with a beta-glucans can help to overcome virus-dependent suppression of defense reactions, and that the addition of sulforaphane to glucan can improve the biological effects of glucan. The beta-glucan products that we like is AHCC, but also certain mushroom products deliver beta-glucans, which have immune-enhancing effects. Here's one to keep in mind as we prepare ourselves for Thanksgiving. And, you know, you get together with a lot of relatives. And although it's the Me Too era, giving someone a hug can be very beneficial. Be careful who you hug, but according to a new study, hugs may help protect against conflict-related distress. Well, I kind of knew that intuitively, but at Carnegie Mellon University, they're studying this. Individuals who engage more frequently in interpersonal touch enjoy better physical and psychological health and improve relationships. In this new study, the research is focused on hugs, which is a relatively common support behavior that individuals engage in with a wide range of social partners. They found that the more hugs people gave and received, the better was their mood. They had better defense against negative emotions when they were hug givers or hug recipients. So therefore, hug your relatives for Thanksgiving. Have a great Thanksgiving. Check out our website, meanwhile, at drhoffman.com for more intelligent medicine information.
If you're a big sports fan like me, sometimes the best part about watching a football game are the pre- and post-game shows. Well, it's the same for probiotics. The most important part of probiotics are the prebiotics and postbiotics that come along. Not all probiotics have this superior combination. That's why I only buy Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. You see, prebiotics feed the probiotic colonies in your intestines, and postbiotics are the organic nutrients produced by Dr. O'Hara's three-year fermentation process that become the foundation for long-term colonization of the good bacteria in your body. This is so important. No other probiotic formula has this. As I get older, I want to protect my health the best I can and use only the best supplements that are available. So score a touchdown for your health. Get Dr. O'Hara's probiotics today.
Touchdown!
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at natural health retailers and online. Don't accept a substitute.